Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
This is the United We Stand podcast from West Ham away. It's brought to you in association with Footy Tipster. If you like to bet on the football but don't have the time to research your selections, Footy Tipster's here to help. Fellow Red Sam and his team provide football tips from all the major European leagues, including Manchester United games. The lad at Footy Tipster put in hours of research to find the best bets for their subscribers and email their selections straight to your inbox, hassle-free. They've been running the service for over a decade and have ended each season in profit. If you want to help beat the bookies, simply head to footytipster.co.uk and claim your free 7-day trial. If you enjoy the service, you can continue for just £10 a month. And if the service isn't for you, simply cancel within the trial period and don't pay a penny.
So London Stadium, Manchester United have just kicked off against West Ham. Actually, I don't know who kicked off, I wasn't really watching. One of the teams kicked off, United on the defensive. Not going to do a commentary, but I just thought you might like to hear them sing Bubbles. With a nice response from United. Right, half time here at West Ham. I know you've watched it yourselves at home because it's a podcast and you've all seen it. But from stood here now, I don't think I've seen United miss as many clear-cut chances.
Six clear-cut chances in that first half. Six clear-cut chances. That's a poor West Ham side and we're making them look good.
The crowd are flat.
Yeah. What's all these empty seats?
I think people have tried to get down below. It looks busier down there, but there are a hell of a lot of gaps in our
seats up here. And I'm sure I know people that have been chubbed for this game, and I just find it incredible that there are so many empty seats. I don't remember ever being here and seeing this before.
I was trying to look to see wherever, because in most grounds we know that the gangways are full and all the seats are squashed up. We're not here, are we? I just wonder if they've thinned us out. So
yeah,
actually,
I think there's a reduced allocation.
Yeah, I think that the reduced allocation, it must be over 3,000. Yeah. However, they've probably given us seats for about, I don't know what you reckon, 3,700, and they've probably sold the 3,200 in here, which spreads it out as well. I think if you look at their, they filled all their seats. But it's so flat, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the players, I'm not saying it's a reason why we've missed six chances, but it doesn't have sort of, I don't know, it seems to go onto the pitch, the fact that the players are almost playing it like a training exercise.
Yeah.
It's been some nice football, pretty football.
Yeah, as I say, I think West Ham are not that great a side, and we've created chances. But like a lot of times this season, we're not putting the chances away.
Well, we have to look at Garnacho, that first chance, he's come to his right foot.
Yeah.
He needs to stroke it in the back of the net. He's thumped it, it's hit the bar.
Yeah.
That's poor, but you just go, well, sometimes those happen.
But then it was in the first minute as well.
Yeah, in the first minute. Then you look at some of those others that came following it.
And Dallo is open goal. I mean, he had to pass it into the net, surely.
I know, it's one of those, isn't it? It's a fullback. He's so desperate to think, his eyes have lit up and he's not letting it come down, has he? And he's taken it halfway. Seems like it's at its far end. It's that far away from where we are on the upper tier. It's hard to see. They didn't show a replay. But not just that, how many, those six chances you would expect us to put at least
four. We would have put one or two away, yeah.
We've got four of those.
Yeah. But we should be 2-0 up. This is reminding me a little bit of the Brighton game, because I felt we were the better side at Brighton.
Yeah, we were, yeah.
And we had goals ruled out.
Palace as well.
Yeah. We had goals ruled out for VAR at Brighton. And in the end, we fell to a sucker punch. I was getting a bit worried right at the last there when they actually had an attack. Because they've not worried our defence at all, really. They've had one corner and that's about it, isn't it?
And it's the story of the season. There's just no composure in front of the goal.
No, absolutely not.
But, Annie, there's four... Yeah. You go back to the Palace game, a very, very poor Crystal Palace team.
I missed the Palace game, but you were there, Steve.
Yeah, I was.
And the thing was about that Palace game, like, that first half, I thought we were really good, and you thought, you know, this is as good as we played.
Just a matter of time.
Yeah. And then in the end, we hung on. They should have won that game. This could go the same way, because you get the feeling their crowd don't need much to spark them into action.
I've never heard such a quiet West Ham crowd.
Well, I heard, see when Casemiro went down, yeah. You could hear him. I thought, oh, he's really badly injured then. Did you hear him shout
out? Ah!
And we are probably, what, a good 100 yards away from him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that, you know, it's that much of a...
And then this one you were saying earlier about the flatness. Apart from the fact that we're sitting in a very sparsely populated stand, there's nothing coming from the home fans.
No, there's nothing at all. And then there's a great big sort of like...
Well, we know...
The holding
I mean, this is... I always say this is a lovely stadium, but it's not a football ground.
No. And that's possibly the fear of the regeneration, isn't it, at Old Trafford? But...
I said to Steve on the way in, the way they've got this configured is exactly what they want to try and create at United, I think. And it's how it is at City, little fan zones and stuff. For old school supporters like me, I'd prefer to go to a pub, meet up with all my mates and, you know...
I was talking to a couple of West Ham fans outside before the game, and it's on the pod earlier. And, you know, I think they were trying to stick up for the stadium a little bit without going gushingly over the top. But they miss the Berlin like we do. Yeah. And they miss those old-fashioned grounds like we do. But if you turn in terms of this one, it wasn't built for football. It's still used for other things. You can see where they can take the stands out so you've got the running track. Yeah. I'm sure it's very nice... As an athletic stadium.
Yeah, but you see, all that space behind there that's wasted, all this space is wasted.
Yeah, well, that's it, because they need that, because when they've got the running track and they need their, you know, for the javelin and the hammer and stuff like that, this all comes back. And I suppose people watch the action here because the running track comes right back up to where those seats are temporary. Is our fear, you know, that the new Wembley of the North... If they do decide to go ahead with that, and I have to say the majority of match-going fans I know think it's a stupid idea to do anything but redevelop Old Trafford.
On my Twitter account, I've put quite a few times that for me it's stay at a refurbished Old Trafford.
I'll just fix the roof. I'm happy with, you know, whatever.
They talk about fixing the roof, but I put a thing on Twitter when we was down at Brighton. The Brighton roof was leaking.
Yeah.
It's 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know, roofs... Do leak.
Yeah.
The Arsenal roof has leaked before now.
Cities was leaking the week before last one.
Yeah.
But this
but
is the sort of
say it's crumbling. Old Trafford is
no, it's
crumbling.
Not. I know.
It's rubbish.
I know. But you're going to get this sort of what when anybody goes out to an architect says build us the greatest stadium in the world and we're going to be at the forefront of everything. They're not going to say okay, so acoustically let's make it right. Where are the fans going to want to have the best views? Let's make it right. They are going to say, okay, where's the corporate going to go? Where's the boxes? Where's the ring around the middle? What else can we use it for? Where can we pull a stand out for music?
Oh, yeah.
Can we have athletics here?
That's what they want to
repurpose.
I mean, you've hit the nail on the head there with the boxes. You think of Wembley.
Yeah.
How disgusting that is at Wembley FA Cup finals now that... When the world watched that, they come out at half time and there's an empty stand because they're all in corporate. And it's not what we were brought up watching football.
No.
You and I are old boys now, Steve.
Doing it a long time.
Yeah. You know, I still think Old Trafford is a fantastic stadium.
Yes.
I keep seeing these lists. Oh, you know, it's now ranked 20th in the. I mean, it's just. I go all round the country watching United. As I say, the only game I've missed this season is the Palace one, and most of the grounds are not a touch on Old Trafford. I'm not a great fan of the Emirates.
No, you're not.
The only one that really impresses me is Tottenham.
See, I'm reverse to you on that. I like Arsenal's better than Tottenham.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just think
like
Tottenham.
Yeah.
I think it's the.
I like the fact that Tottenham, they built that big end.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And if that was properly, I don't know, managed by the supporters, you think like Dortmund or somewhere where they've got the yellow wall? And they could have something really special with them. And I'm sure if United put their mind to it, they could do something similar. I always find, maybe it's me, I don't know, I always find the Emirates a bit of a library. And I don't think it generates the same atmosphere that Highbury used to.
No, I don't think it ever could, you know, because that was so close. So good to a couple of the old boys outside from West Ham, they were saying they loved it. Being down the chicken run or whatever, because they could almost grab the players' shirts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you know, they felt part of the action. And it's a bit like, I don't know if you watch any sort of, I'll say non-league, but lower level step football or whatever, when you're just leaning there on the side and the players are literally, you know, a touching distance away. To have that at Premier, at top level football, is still fantastic. You just don't get it now, do we?
No, you don't. And it's only half the capacity.
Because they are building stadiums, not football grounds.
They've got 60,000 here. Yeah. What was it? The Berlin ground was what, 30?
30, and twice the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think they had to make, I think in the end, because they built the two stands, I think it was about 32 or 34 maximum. And that was an increase, obviously, over the years. Apart from that, Highbury was 38, wasn't it? Yeah. And that wasn't going to be big enough for them to get that.
But that's the problem. Highbury was listed, they couldn't do anything with it, so you know, they couldn't really knock the big two stands down and replace them in any way.
Fulham?
Yeah, again, Fulham. I mean, you know, they've got that massive riverside stand now.
Is it fully open? Because last time I went, it's still pretty much closed.
I've not seen anybody up in that top level.
Someone says
there's a swimming pool on the top or something.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of a swimming pool in a football ground? I mean, what's it all about?
I suppose it was somewhere for Al-Fayed to take
his young ladies.
Young friends. Well, I think, are we allowed to say that now?
Careful, Paul.
Yes. But I'm not sure if you're allowed to say that, but, you know, allegedly.
I'd stick allegedly on there.
So, game isn't going to plan so far in terms of chances, but we have played fairly well in parts.
He's going to plan in terms of chances, but not in terms of chances converted. We need, I think, if we get a goal, we get another two or three.
You made a good point.
But I still think they're dangerous on the counter attack.
It would be a disaster if we didn't get victory today.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think you're right.
But yeah, you were talking earlier in the game about this sort of 2-3 touches every single pass. It slows everything down. Yeah, it's no risk football.
And it doesn't work. Football from a lot of teams now. It's not just United.
No, it isn't.
You know, I was saying to Steve beforehand, even when you watch City play, we're probably, you know, let's hold our hands up, and they're probably one of the best teams in the world. But they're not exactly entertaining to watch. They don't zip the ball around like we were used to years ago.
Oh, it's tedious to watch. But they've built it on the fact that they have one game play, don't they?
Yeah.
Pass, wait for the gap between the centre half and the fullback, feed it through, cross it, pull it back, and someone's there.
Yeah.
And they score every goal from that.
It's effective.
Apart from the ones out.
It's effective.
And then they have shots from outside the box.
They're very effective. They're quite pragmatic when you watch them. And again, it's this slow build up. And everybody seems to be trying to copy that. I've said for a while now. A manager in the English league wanted to play 4-4-2 nowadays, they might actually surprise a few people because
a few long balls.
Yeah,
make the defence turn.
Well, who was it? It was somebody. Was it last year, the year before? Played two centre forwards against us. I think they beat us at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
I know it's not a great, you know, it's not the hardest thing to do in the world, but it's that sort of thing, isn't it? Having two centre forwards instead of this one and a false and a number 10, or is he playing number 8 or number 6? Seems that the FIFA generation have brought in you know, football that we saw. And you know, what was Maradona? You know, you get youngsters, and my youngest lad. What was Maradona? Was he a 10 or an 8? I said he just played wherever the bloody hell he wanted.
Yeah,
well, he got the ball, like Messi, dribbled it past. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did best play? Is he 7, 11?
Best he could play anywhere.
Yeah, he just played football, didn't they?
Yeah.
They attacked, they played football. We talk about, oh, we won't be a great transition side. Tommy Doherty's side were pressing and transitioning from back to front and on the, you know, and on the attack and on the counter attack. All this football hasn't been reinvented now. What it's been done is it's been labelled, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big difference. And this label football of now, oh, we're going to hold it back, we're going to control the game more. Nobody controlled the game more than Liverpool did in the 80s,
yeah.
Though they had the back pass where they could back pass.
Again, as you say, pragmatic side again. Liverpool were never great to watch, I never thought, in the 80s, but they were very effective. They knew how to win games. As you say, they had a game plan, they used to stick to it, they had very good players.
The best team to watch at the moment, Liverpool, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah. And the Arsenal, 1-0 to the Arsenal, when George Graham...
I mean, that was it, wasn't it? It was just score a goal and shut up shop.
Yeah. We can't do that.
No, we can't shut up shop. We score one or two and we still can't shut up shop.
Scored three against Coventry and couldn't show up shop, nearly lost that game. Yeah. That changed, you know, it gave Ten Hag. Well, it did, and it's given Ten Hag this part of the season because of the win. Has he got much more of this season?
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely.
You think he's got more?
Do you think he's got much more?
No, I think.
I think
the thing for me is who's the replacement? Now, I was at a do at Old Trafford and I asked a lot of ex-pros, what do you think about Ten Hag? And a lot of them were saying, I think we should get rid. And I said to them, OK, who do we bring in? And not one of them could give me a decent name. Not one.
No, well, not that we get, anyway.
Most just said, well, there's the problem. That's why we haven't got rid of him.
But I think that sometimes you hear a lot of these names thrown in, you know, from the press. I think part of it are sort of leaks to see what our reaction as fans would be.
Yeah.
And there's not one name that I can see that's been leaked that you'd go, oh, yeah, please, he would be a good one. I mean, even talking about Xavi, pressure was too great for him at Barcelona. And they've gone up a level this year since he left, haven't they?
Yeah.
My God, dude, I did watch some of the game last night. I watched the game last night.
Oh,
I mean, they were very, very good. So we'll have to see.
Last
night beat Madrid 4-0 at Madrid.
Yeah,
and missed
that record, didn't they?
Yeah. Missed that. Well, we're going to go second half. So is it going to be a Palace hang on at the end, a Brighton loss, or are we going to go on and win this 3-0?
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
We'll do it 1-0.
1-0 is due, right? Thanks very much, lads. Cheers, Paul. Cheers, Steve. So we kicked off for the second half. No changes for us. Martinez isn't injured, and off we go again. Final whistle's just gone. The referee added 12 minutes and played 10, given the fact they didn't even start. The penalty they showed on the big screen clearly wasn't a penalty. You have to now start questioning how corrupt fucking referees are and how corrupt the whole fucking game is. Cheers, babe. We'll get some reaction as we walk out. At the moment, being drowned out by music, but you want to feel sorry for United, but they missed too many chances first half. You want to feel sorry for the players, but they clearly weren't good enough. And you want to feel sorry for the manager, but he's clearly out of his fucking depth. Because, yes, it was a dodgy penalty, but how are we not winning that game at half-time? How are we only starting to react after somebody scores against us? Just absolute... It can't get worse than it is now. Game, you know, we say a lot of the game has gone in terms of VAR and stuff, but that's just absolute fucking corruption.
What's the problem? I'm fucking here, you're not good enough.
So if we can try and sum that out up,
same old story really, where we can't take our chances.
Yeah, but
we
deserve to lose that game, but we didn't deserve to lose that game by that penalty.
Hey?
They made one, didn't they? The Ireland chance, didn't they? Fabianski. One shot on target.
But we have got to come to realisation that if some of those players just aren't clearly aren't good enough, are they?
No. To be fair though, a lot of people giving Eric stick. I don't really see where you can really fault him for today. If they take the chances in the first half, we're coming out of here happy compared to that. But I'll give him the stick when he needs stick for today.
So what's his pattern of play?
No, what I'm saying is for today.
He's not got a pattern of play, mate. For today, no, he hasn't. He's playing fucking.
It's hitting hope.
You're playing West Ham, mate. The players don't know each other. I'm on one now. You're saying that you're VAR. You say you're VAR, right? Do you want to say that when Brighton, we play Brighton away, they brought him back on the pitch? His family's over. If you can't put the ball there, you don't score goals.
He spent the 5 minutes after the game just stood in front of the away and like this again.
You know, a bit
with
like
his fucking arms folded.
Yeah, but there's a few, wasn't there? I mean, if we're going to be, it's time to be brutally honest, right? Brutally honest. Hoyland's not a fucking centre forward. And he's not worth 20 million, never mind fucking 60, 70, 80 million. He's fucking shit as a centre forward. Now, he might have a good chance, he might be able to put the odd thing away, but fuck me, running that line against absolute shit back four, he was fucking useless today. Let's look at Xerxes, who came on. His first header was so wide, it hit Ahmad and went in. The goalkeeper.
Casemiro.
Who?
The equaliser, Casemiro.
Oh, right, was it? Xerxes' header was missing the goal. I don't put my head in my hands.
Yeah, 100% it was.
Right.
But yeah,
he got a header and he missed by so much. I put my head in my hands, and then I knew it went in.
That was his best game since Ballas, that.
Then we had... The back four was absolutely... Eriksen was the best player. We got taken off.
Yeah, he was.
I think Ten Hag missed a trick, though. There's so much space down the left-hand side that Garnacho was getting run into.
Yeah.
And he was getting shrugged off the ball too much. Why did he not switch and get Rashford on the left-hand side?
Who was their best player? I thought it was Wan-Bissaka.
He was
because he made every tackle.
He was also out of position a lot.
We've seen that, but that was Wan-Bissaka one. It was seeing them performances.
There was a couple, especially the first half. He should have scored off him being out of position a few times, not by him recovering. By us.
Steve, you say be brutally honest. The brutal honest thing is that no matter who we play, no matter how good they are, how bad they are, every game's a 50-50 shot. Like we win some, we lose some, but we go and beat Brentford playing very well in the second half.
We can't play two halves, can we?
We get worse as the game. Most of the time, I know Brentford was a bit different, but we seem to, especially away from home, we just seem to die in the second half. Yeah. The fitness of the team. I don't know if it's the fitness or the amount of running they actually have to do with the tactics. But some of them, like Bruno, we've got a very slight team, haven't we?
They don't adapt mid-game, though, do they? We did first half, and that's where Garnacho had them two great chances. We had so much space on the left. They kind of corrected it second half, and we just didn't change anything. Nothing's changed.
I'm not sure we see it. I'm not sure whoever's on the bench sees it. And it's not just up to one man. He has coaching staff around him who analyse and run.
Yeah, he did.
Do you think he listens to anyone about anything? He's one of the most stubborn. He's just stubborn. He's more stubborn than Van Gaal.
I would say no, because simply nothing has changed in terms of our style of play, the way we go about games, and yet the entire coaching staff's changed. So how have we not seen?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if we're still losing, how have we not seen a difference with an entire coaching? Which that tells me that the manager's not listening to either his coaching
his
staff last year or this year.
And
he
must look at
that miss from Delap. I mean, if Delap misses that,
the
thing is, you can make excuses for like, maybe we missed the chances today, but every game isn't like that. It's not that doesn't happen over 6 months or 18 months of not winning games.
Yeah. We're at 18 months now. Pretty much since the League Cup final, you can count on one hand the truly good performances.
How many have we won?
They've won 11 games since that. Since
not count
in
not
last
in the cup
35
run.
Or something. It was fucking something. It's ridiculous.
Is it 11 league games?
Something like that. You can't remember what it is.
I've seen it, and it is pretty much nearly a full season but spread over two, and it is, you would be in the relegation
battle. Oh, we would be in the relegation.
So at what point, I mean, these
these clowns that have taken over just they don't do anything. They don't make any
take big salaries. Three of them are coming on huge, absolutely huge salaries.
You're not an idiot.
That was it. In 2024,
who's done nothing, and Jason Wilcox, who is a journeyman footballer, who doesn't know his arse from his elbow.
I don't think the players are bringing in. I am doing it. I don't know if Dan Ashworth wants Gareth Southgate.
The new owners have been here nearly a year, and they've not put one positive impact on the club.
I don't think it's just too quick to judge that.
They're going to make Trafford £15 billion a year, though.
The
rent,
the vanity project of a new ground when we're in League Two.
Yeah, just massage his ego with a bit of Viagra, isn't it?
But the simple fact is, we don't score enough goals to win enough games. We just every game we'll score one. Oh no, it's definitely getting edited, that, isn't it?
There'll be a stop at a certain point then.
No, it can go out. It's got to be raw. That's just
West Ham are relegated, and looking at what looked at West Ham today, they were in absolute shambles. I think 15 or 16 Premier League teams come and win this 2-3-4-5-0.
This is the thing,
it's not like, oh, we weren't good today, but you know, they played pretty well. You couldn't believe the level of football out there. It was so bad.
I think there's a lot of our players that just don't look like physically ready. I like Garnacho a lot, but every time he comes up against a fullback who's strong and quick, he gets shrugged off the ball. How many times did that centre half come over and just shrug him off the ball, Matt?
He's a great player.
He is.
And he's right footed.
Yeah.
And we're playing him on the left.
He's on the right.
And he crosses with left foot really well. Just put him on the right and say, stick some crosses over.
Yeah.
Our biggest goal threat is Rashford.
It has been for 10 years. And even when he's not in good form, he's still our biggest goal threat. And we're taking every bit of his goal threat away by putting him on the right. He doesn't do anything on the right. I know he cut that one up last week, but the stats over 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Put him in midfield and start passing the ball around him. Bruno's having a nightmare at the moment.
I thought Bruno was all right, personally.
He shouldn't be in the team. And the problem with Bruno is you lose control, so you don't control the match when he plays, and you can't play a third midfielder in there. So you sacrifice a lot. So he has to score an assist regularly.
Yeah.
So the minute he's not scoring an assist in regular, then it becomes pointless.
It does say a lot that Bruno has scored and assisted goals for every manager other than Ten Hag. Ten Hag does not play to a single one of our players' strengths. Look at Rashford, out of position. Maynou plays too deep. Garnacho's on the half the time, I think, is on the wrong wing. Hoyland, we're never getting the ball in the right position. All the players that we have, Martinez is like defending 50 yards of space on the left side all the time. He plays to all our players' weaknesses, so it's so hard to judge any of the players until there's someone that's actually got a fucking any level of competency.
And who was the players we said before that we spent 200 million on in the last few years? If you want to look at saving money, Mount,
Sancho, and Anthony.
Yeah,
they can't. We're now 15,
16, 14.
14. At what point do you make the decision? Do you let us get relegated?
At what point do you make the decision?
They've already waited too long.
We've got Leicester on Wednesday, and if we win that,
the problem they've had now is they've almost stop themselves get sacking because they needed to do it in the international break when they had the time.
Two international breaks, really.
Well, they got the next one.
We took away Chelsea next week, don't we? And then after that, we've got.
And then we're out of until that.
So is Chelsea the last one before the break?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, lads, how do we put this right for next week?
Honestly, absolutely no idea, to be honest. Like, start with the players, manager, everything. What do you reckon?
Someone needs to have a word. the refereeing. You spend 10 minutes thinking about the decision, and then he goes over to the monitor, spends 5 minutes at the monitor. So I mean,
then adds 12 minutes.
Yeah,
and then we kick off at 93, and he blows 103. So we're 2 minutes short. Plus they went down with 2 injuries during it.
Yeah.
So we're probably 4 minutes short. Now we might have played all day and not scored. There's so much wrong now, isn't there?
I mean, you should have scored two or three in the first half. So it should that that extra bit at the end shouldn't have mattered. So the fact that we had 12 minutes added on was a bit of a blessing in a way, but should have finished the chances in the first half, I think.
Yeah. Well, where do you throw the baby and the bathwater out and start again? Do you just like go, do you know what, it's not working, the project isn't working, it's the end of it for everybody, for half the players? Or do you go, well, there's still life in it, there's still chance, there's still time?
There's no one better. Who else is out there that you can bring in and you can go, right, they'll turn it and I'll make a difference? Yeah.
I'd like, start again if there is somebody out there that you could actually see a project with. But at the minute, I don't see anything out there anyway.
The danger is we bring in a caretaker and he's got the same lot of players and there's no structure.
Do you just give Van Nistelrooy a chance? Do you just chuck him at it?
His players went to the board, didn't he, at his last club and got him sacked because they didn't like the way he played. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but...
No.
Do you take a chance? I mean, we're in the unknown. Like, I've walked out of there numb. Like,
we're laughing stock now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I go to the football now and I walk away and I forget about the football because of what's happened. So you're just numb to it. It is what it is. Like, you want them to play better, but they're just not.
Well, thank you very much for
always being every time. Almost like a computer game, you preset his subs.
Right, well, where's the... That's the United Stand podcast. We could go on forever. You watched it. You all got your own thoughts. You all know it wasn't a penalty. You all know that we should have been 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 up and weren't. We all know that every week we say exactly the same thing. We've got a nice trip home now. We'll be home for probably about 8:30, 9 o'clock, which will be different from when we come home from Ipswich, which will probably be early hours on a Sunday, so there's that. But apart from nothing to take from today, apart from Manchester United are probably at their lowest point for, I don't know, since the relegation season. Probably not far off. Have a good week.
Before the game, Steve Black spoke to a couple of West Ham fans outside the ground.
And I'm with Perry and his mate Ray, who's just taking the phone call. But thank you for agreeing to be on our podcast. It's probably a question you've been asked 1,000 times by away fans. Are you enjoying being in London Stadium rather than the bowling ground?
It's okay. You got to go with progress, haven't you, at the end of the day. It's never going to be the bowling ground, ever. But times move on.
See, we miss it. As away fans, I used to love going to, you know, what was called Upton, but we knew it was a Belen because it's been about the older generation.
Yeah.
You won't have ever gone there, will you, Luca? Right. So the atmosphere was fantastic. The crowd was on top.
That's
it was
right.
Terrific. You were able to develop it. I remember, I think we were... First year you had the Bobby Moore stand, we were away fans in there, and then they changed us back again.
But you used to have banter with the players as well.
Yeah.
Good banter. Now you're so far away from the players.
Yeah. That's it, and there has been criticism in some games that it has been flat here. You've got a lot more of your support in. You're able to cater for the majority of your West Ham sort of hardcore fans, obviously, because you can get in here.
Yeah.
Why is it flat? Is it because of the acoustics here? Or?
You've got 50,000 of them who are not West Ham fans. They just come to London, have a day out at the London Stadium. They're not true West Ham supporters. So you've got your 36,000 true loyal supporters, but you're drained it out by another 50,000 who... They're there just for the game of football.
For the experience of the game of football in London.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like where you were at Man U, and like a lot of the lads, they got the West Ham scars and half Man U.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's ridiculous. But at Man U, you wouldn't have sort of Man U and half West, you wouldn't, you know.
We start to see it a number of years ago. Particularly when we went up to 70,000. I notice it's a big thing this week, or we've seen it back. Manchester City are redeveloping their ground, and for all the mirth that we have around them, and, you know, they've still got 20,000 seats, what do they need any more for? They're not creating any new season tickets in that new cohort of fans because I guess they can sit 19 different people in who will come and go to the shop and spend money and then have more of a longer day, so they're stood outside. I mean, like we are here, it's really nice, but they will add probably quite a lot to the Manchester City economy.
That's
rather
right.
than
yeah.
the likes of season ticket holders who go in, watch the kickoff, yeah. and go away.
It's
again.
Not just about football anymore, is it? It's commercial.
I'll be honest, I've had a beer before, mate, but I ain't going to go in there and pay 10 quid
no.
for a bottle of beer.
No.
You know, if you want a pint, it's like £20 you're paying for a pint.
Yeah.
So we wait till after the game and go somewhere.
Football,
you
know, as we know it,
captured, yeah. didn't they? Yeah.
Growing
yeah.
up, is not the
so,
football.
So when did your love of West Ham start, or where did it start, and how did
66,
it start?
66, mine. I remember Johnny Byrne, yeah. I'm 68, yeah. nearly 69, yeah. I'll go back to 66. I remember seeing Man United win the championship here, 6-1.
Yes,
yeah, about
67. 1965.
Yeah,
was it 1967?
67, yeah. John Charles, he was there. Black fullback, he got our only goal, and you slaughtered us. That was like Preston Law playing. Played in white, you did. All,
yeah,
in, all in white with red socks. You know, you remember it as a kid, yeah.
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 Same, really.
Busby days.
60,
yeah.
about 69.
Yeah.
Because my dad was a Millwall supporter.
Oh, wow.
So he used to take me there. And like, it was, I remember it was my birthday, 69, Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And he brought me to West Ham. Oh. And Harry Redknapp was playing. He was on the wing.
Yeah.
Absolutely useless as normal. And I tried to grab his shirt. And I was a rollicking like.
Yeah, oh, trying to be right near
that. And ever since then, from school days and all that.
So you... Did your dad sort of mind you playing, you know, supporting West Ham? And
he didn't have a choice. There's no way I was going to support me at all.
No, okay. And so you've gone many, many years over there. You've seen some wonderful teams. You've seen, obviously, West Ham win the FA Cup a few times.
Yeah, seen that, yeah.
Stuart Pearson.
Yeah, Stuart Pearce,
yeah.
He shot the ball at Brooklyn, headed it in, yeah.
Yeah.
Or come
yeah.
off his head, should you say, yeah.
But wonderful.
Yeah, good couple of seasons for us, Pearson.
Yeah.
Good player,
oh,
yeah.
Lovely player.
Had a bad leg injury, and it affected him. He's a good player, Stuart Pearson, yeah.
He still got. He still hangs around Manchester. He lives in Sale, very close to us. Played a lot of five-a-side all his life, but he always had his knee really, really bad.
Yeah.
You got him from Hull, didn't you?
Hull City, 200,000. Yeah. 74, I think it was, we signed him.
Good centre forward.
Yeah, he was a great player, played alongside Jimmy Greenough. You've had some wonderful players here. It's gone. You've got the new ground. You're creating more sort of wealth for David Gold and the owners or whatever. He's got his... Have you got what you wanted from this move?
First, it's a place where we all come. Like, it's about...
You're
front
of the team. It's in your blood.
Yeah, like, you know.
It don't matter if we was in the third division.
Yeah.
But you've got European success though in the last couple of years.
We have.
You're laughing. David Moyes is taking you to European
glory.
We have.
Hey, good on David Moyes, but the standard of football was
very boring.
As you say, we've had good teams in the past.
But
we don't mind losing 4-3, 3-2. We just want to be entertained. And if you're not trying out there, you're going to get it. And I think this geezer now, Luke Batagi, he's on thin ice.
I think I'd be lucky if he lasts till Christmas.
Because
he made some
signings that look like...
And he ain't played them.
Yeah, and they're not played.
But are these signings, or as Steadon said, right, we can get this player for so much, now you get him in the squad.
Is that a danger with modern football? We never knew. When you had a manager, I know... It's an overused word now, identity. Well, managers are supposedly have identities of the way that they play. Yet it seems to me with directors, that's no good if your manager doesn't know where to put them in the system or the way that they see to it.
And footballers can do what they want now. In the old days, they had to do as they was told.
Yeah.
Now, they've got free reign. Where if you bring a youth player through, he's part of the club. He knows the history of the club. You bring someone on from abroad, they don't know the history.
Yeah.
They're playing for the money. All these foreign imports, what are they coming for? Money.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because the agents seem to...
That's right,
You look at what agents, and then you actually look at the core of the team, and they can have the same agent.
That's right.
At each, you know, at each stage of the development.
Yeah.
Well, you think your last really good side, you know, when you pull like the Giggs, the Skulls, they all played together through the youth squad. Yeah, and there's about 7 or 8 of them that was, you know, all went on right through for about a good 10 years playing together.
Well,
like,
Fergie just added to it.
Yeah.
He knew when to get rid of them and then add someone.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you're not allowed to do that.
No.
They buy a player and go, right, fit him in. You can't play football like that.
Well, as we were saying,
you have to have passion, don't
it? But Danny Inn's about nearly $180,000 a week.
Easy.
And all that, and he's lucky he gets 10 minutes or quarter of an hour, you know.
Yeah. You can't expect him to do anything.
Because he doesn't fit that system of this new manager.
That's right.
And why are you paying
Antonio, who's just been to Jamaica, played a game and come back, and he puts him straight on the team? When you've got Danny Ings, ain't done nothing all week.
Yeah.
Something wrong.
Yeah, it's not. It's not
somewhere,
right.
You know?
So what's your future?
This season, I think mid-table.
I hope we get rid of Lubitsch J-Lo.
Yeah.
Right? And we've got to get a young manager who's got new ideas.
Would you go for a manager from abroad, knowing that, again, they won't have the heart and passion of West Ham?
Yeah.
Although the history, yet maybe, it's hard to say, but maybe coaching-wise, the level above some of the ones that are available? Or would you go for a young manager from a lower division?
I wouldn't mind Carrick, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. Well, he was one of your...
It's an option. That's right, it's an option.
And I know
but other than that... There ain't enough as we found with England. There ain't enough good coaches.
Well, they're at the bottom at the moment. I think he'd turn it round. It's Gary O'Neill at Wolves. I think he'd turn that round at Wolves. I think he's all right.
See, Gary O'Neill last year.
But would he get the chance to keep Wolves up? You know?
No, this is the thing. Gary O'Neill last year, they came to Old Trafford, they played as a part. You watched them in other games, and they seem to have a lot of ideas and fresh and everything. This year, everything's gone against him. I know he got the draw yesterday. But up until that game, everything seemed to go against him.
It's not that you get sussed out. Second year, they know how to play against you.
Yeah.
The first year, it's all new.
Yeah.
It's like when we used to have Cotty and McAvenny and Waldy. No one had seen them. All of a sudden, West Ham were like buzzing all over the place. Brilliant for about 18 months. Then all of a sudden, goes dry.
Yeah.
Because they suss them out. You're talking about quality defenders in this league, and you get sussed out. If you're not high quality, you're going to get sussed.
Pace, isn't it? At the end of the day, pace. Yeah,
well, pace is huge.
It's gone to pace, but is it right?
So tell me today, who Manchester United got to be worried about on the pitch? And are you worried about any of our players, be honest?
I admit, I ain't seen the teams yet. I don't know the teams yet. You know,
is Mane new playing today?
No, he's still out injured.
Still injured.
We've got Ericsson, who obviously died a few years ago.
Ganacho. Ganacho, I think, is a worry.
Yeah. And the other, is it the Scandinavian?
His quality.
Hoyland, yeah. He ain't bad.
I'm not sure. I think, depending on what our central defenders are. But Ganacho's the worst one. He's like pace.
But how do you think he's got heart.
He plays.
Wouldn't be surprised Harry Maguire would get a goal if they play him.
He's injured.
Set pieces, you know, we got nothing in the middle.
Right, is that where your weaknesses?
Yeah, I think he would have been ideal for a set piece, Harry Maguire. Yeah.
A weakness is not having a centre forward, proper centre forward.
I ain't had one for a few seasons,
That's our weakness.
Bowen gets a few goals for him.
Yeah? He's not centre forward.
Nah.
Do you know what I mean? If he had someone to play off, then much better.
But you're not playing Antonio's.
If he brought him on in the last 20 minutes, great. Because he can run right. He's lost it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's not even a centre forward. He's right back, really.
Right back, right half.
That's right.
Old position, right
and
half.
For four seasons. We've not had a
quick and strong, though, isn't he?
Yeah. He's quick and strong, and he's a pest. But. He's like an endless chicken in front of goal. You don't know if he's going to go in or he's going to miss by 30 yards.
The biggest disappointment for us is Becrea. It's like all of a sudden he just gave up, you know. Yeah. Ain't the same player. I know he's probably not got that betting stand wagging over his head, but he just ain't the same player as last year.
No, you thought he was on for a great big money transfer and
Messi,
a guess agent and he's made for life.
And
all of a sudden he's not. So scoreline today, please.
I'll go with 2-2.
I'll go with a draw,
You think United might score twice?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go with 2-2.
It's an interesting one. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll really be a draw.
Okay.
Or we're going to get slaughtered.
Likely. And Michael Carrick for your next manager?
I would go with Carrick. If you want someone, or some young coach.
What's he on his third season at Middlesbrough, isn't he?
Who plays offensive football.
Yeah, that's what you want.
You always were known as a team that played lovely football, attacking. Right. You know, you had Carrick and Cole in midfield all those years ago, before he went to Tottenham, of course. And although Joe Cole got all the accolades, and only watched football, knew that Carrick had a footballer.
That's right,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Good side then, and we still went down that year.
Ferdinand.
Di Canio, Ferdinand. Yeah. David James in goal, we still went down. Yeah.
But I think that's the difference, isn't it, now, when you talk about, you know, this City side and this Liverpool side being, they're fantastic. They're in a lot poorer league. When you think about the teams like West Ham, we went down with those players. Yeah. Middlesbrough went down with Ravanelli and Giannino and all those.
Yeah.
It's a lot stronger league.
The gap is massive now.
Oh, yeah, it's huge now.
And they're keeping it like that, and they don't want no interference from no one else. It's ruining football, I think. And this new competition at the end of the season, what's all that about?
They're never satisfied, are they, until they flog everybody, one of these players to death. And they are going to, there's so many more injuries going to be, isn't there?
But in the end, like what happened in the Italian league, there was so much fraud going on. Do you remember that year when they all got nicked?
Yeah.
I reckon that's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Because Sky's losing viewers.
Yeah.
And all that, so the money's going to dry up sooner or later.
Yeah, it's what we're talking about actually on the way here.
I don't think
it will
go on
deals. Yeah. They can't possibly be sustained in the way that they are.
Yeah, that's right. That's why they're trying to get in America involved, isn't it?
Absolutely. All these teams going out to America for a big tournament next summer, the World Cup or if there's between that is the way, isn't it?
That's right.
The same way as you have some American football games either at Tottenham Stadium or wherever.
Right.
And they are actually league games that they're playing at these teams.
Right.
And so how long till our one of our games
goes
down over there?
Well, your man was the first one that done it. He never took part in the FA Cup, do you remember that?
Well, he offered to. He asked for a postponement of the third round because we were holders. And the FA said, no, you can't. You play it then or you default it. And United didn't want it. They wanted to try and play it. And obviously, we weren't allowed to do it.
Yeah. What do you think? A couple of years ago, do you remember Liverpool literally put a whole reserve team out in the European fixture?
Yeah.
Because they was playing like two literally fixtures in about 2 or 3 days, didn't they?
Well, Wenger used to do that, didn't he? Put the youth team out in the cup competitions.
Yeah.
Well, going back to when we started watching football, he used to play Christmas Day and Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah. Right. Oh, indeed. Christmas, early 60s.
And no subs.
Early 60s, you're right, that was. Yeah.
But can you imagine them getting away with that? TV would love that now, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Christmas Day fixture. Just after the Queen, or the King as it is now, does a speech, we'll have a game coming from now. They'd love that, wouldn't they?
What did they do with Chelsea? That's how with Chelsea Wolves last year, didn't they?
They wanted to put it Christmas Eve and they brought it forward. I know we've got Wolves away on Boxing Day now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a day out normally anyway, isn't it? Yeah. But Christmas Eve.
I remember that.
It's all about money, it's not about the football anymore.
Yeah. I remember one New Year's Eve, we had Southampton away one New Year's Eve, and then one New Year's Day, Chelsea away, midday kickoff.
Yeah.
You know, it's gone on for long. Anyway, I've held you last long
Thank
enough.
You so much.
Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Enjoy the game.
We will try to, we will do. Have a really good day, and thank you very much. Take care. All right, bye-bye.